Hello, and welcome to Dice Punks, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, the Frontispiece 4 try to regroup and recover from their recent ordeal in the environs of PSSHQ while also figuring out where their friend Apatia came from just now. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
Hello, I'm Drew, and I'll be playing Cato Burke, a.k.a. Hecate, undefeated champ of OPSEC and the 100-yard tackle.
Hello, I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Cal Armitage, but that is officer in pursuit of an alibi, I mean suspect, to you.
Hi, I'm Dez, and I'll be playing Matchstick or Luke Byrne, whichever I let you prefer. And I'm currently debating whether one hug is in fact better or worse than none.
Well, on that note, I am Nick, and I will be playing Ing, an efficient killing machine experimenting with pacifism.
Thank you, as always, players. First up, let's get our recap, this time courtesy of Cato.
So Cal was facing down a figure with a red LED mask. This figure may or may not have just blown a chunk out of PSS headquarters. Ing and I were approaching. Cal pinned this person. They got away. I charged this person. They got away. I pinned them a second time. They got away. Scuttled, actually. Ing's drones followed. Well, I accepted a defeat that was as honorable as it was embarrassing. Was that a combat chassis? Oh, Christ. Byrne, meanwhile, had been observing from a safe, basement-based distance, but had recently had their eyes knocked out, their words, by some other hacker. They were fuming about this, quite understandably. All of this, of course, freed up Cal to head back to PSSHQ to find that the bomb had gone off under the cells where Slagpie had been held. No people had been killed, it seemed, and no bacon had been crisped. So, some manner of collusion? And well, I said that no bacon had been crisped, but some had been sliced. Tupper. Sliced on the left shoulder and more with a goddamned katana. Cal began to unfurl the truth about Maddie. Then they tased him. Then they used the scalpel from their first aid kit to, augment the cut. Then they dragged Tupper into his office and left the place, and of course, officially, none of this happened. Meanwhile, Kumiko had arrived on the scene and was opening fire. Kumiko, I remind you, Earth listeners and Grand Cross fic writers alike, is a tank. Ing ran right at it. What's the plan here? I asked, reasonably, I think. You gonna fight a tank? Ing fought a tank. And in the moment before, well, whatever they did, whenever I saw them, they weren't themselves anymore. Not the current version, I mean. Not the one they'd worked so hard to build up. You lose people. And the moment when you've lost them, and you can't yet know whether you'll get them back, that moment stretches on. A vast space. A place you revisit when you're least ready. But he succeeded. Kumiko was disabled, and the worst of what could have happened didn't happen. I called out to Ing for getting crime names, because there was no crime to complete then, just the vast, familiar space and my voice echoing in it. But when Cal approached Ing, they knew each other, and whatever violence had happened had passed. So there was that. And Byrne gave us all directions to a place to meet up and multiple routes by which to make our ways there. And we all arrived to find all of us whole, more or less, though Aang was... It remains to be seen. But Cal and Aang hugged, and I joined in, tentatively at first, and then Aang reached out, hopefully, for Burn's hand too, but he found Apatia instead. Well, that was very intense, she said, but very exciting.
Marvelous and precise. Save, I suppose, for the fact that I will just point out that the suspect that you were in conflict with had a plague doctor mask and red LED strips on shoulders, arms, thighs. I believe you conflated the two details, understandably, in the chaos.
I did, but they didn't get a good look because the fucker kept getting away from me.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that we assured our listeners that they weren't misremembering. It also gives me a little bit of space in here. We awarded 2 XP last time, and I think that for a lot of character advancement, we can probably wait until we're like, you know, in a more stable spot. But if there's anything that we feel warrants being done right now, here in this moment in the basements, then like I'm perfectly willing to let us go ahead and do that so that we have that going forward. Otherwise, we'll defer until we have a little
can't bit imagine of why the can't imagine why this would be, but on the way over I thought some stuff through, and I'm going to be taking the talent plausible deniability, where I have advantage on all social roles made to cover up, lie about, or conceal my or an ally's involvement in dubious or criminal activity.
That seems like a useful thing.
From my perspective, losing or nearly losing Aang rattled me, so I will be taking on the talent Riot Medicine, which allows me to spend one prep to grant all allies in a vicinity advantage on saves versus all debilitating attacks, so that includes stun guns, hacks, etc. And this lasts until my next action in a fight or until the end of a scene if outside of combat.
Very good.
I'll be taking Jack of all trades, which is less important than the skill or the, sorry, not skill, specialty it grants me, as well as the other specialties, namely I will be taking one additional in generic ghosting, one in generic hacking. And then I'm already maxed out on stealth, so meh. I think I won't take the generic ghosting and will apply that instead as a clever defense.
Should we just level up? We all took talent.
I mean, like I am.
We basically have, and
we,
in a lot of cases.
Yeah, in that case, I will name my whole level up. I think the only one that really applies in this moment is increasing tough defense by one by defaulting back to earlier programming, even if temporarily. I think that perhaps that's left him with a lingering sense of how to protect himself or themselves. The other two elements of the level up can wait until later to implement, but I will just name for the sake of streamlining that Aang will be taking a third level of flesh horticulture and the talent helping hand.
Damn!
which allows me to help my allies in various ways.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, of course. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Once permission, if I'm around to help, I can turn an ally's advantage into a boost before rolling.
Nice. Yeah, for nice. Our listeners, that is adding a die rather than just rolling an extra and taking the two highest. So sort of an upgrade to advantage there.
Love it. And I guess since we're finishing it, I will take... can I just take two levels of gray market goods, or do I need to take two different specialties?
I believe there's no prohibition on making your, if you, the specialty in question is a generic specialty, you can double up.
Yeah, I did all generic specialties this time, so.
Okay, then I did that.
Okay.
I took another level in corporate security, bringing it to 2, and also my gun go pew pew went to 3.
God, Robin.
At least little, not way.
Yeah. The little soupçon of unknown armies that your specialty labeling brings into this campaign is priceless. So, having gotten those logistics taken care of, and thank you, players, for being on the ball there, we rejoin our scene in progress here with a recently traumatized Ing having taken a hand that they did not intend to and that he did not expect to because no one knew that Apatia was here. Her dialogue still ringing in your ears is, well, that was very intense, but very exciting, as she clasps in your hand.
At that point, I will join the hug pile, possibly like worming inside Kato's portion of the hug.
I'll be a hug buffer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you are on the outside.
On the outside. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Forming sort of a protective shell.
A hug palisade, if you will. Sure. A hug carapace.
There it is. There it is. That's just probably the image, given the, you know, the not uncrab-like shape of things.
Well, as this is happening, then, Apatia uses her light grasp on Ing's hand to draw herself into the group hug as well, around the outside of the portion that Kato does not cover.
One of my hands frees itself from Ing's back. I'm still holding him tightly with my other arm, but it kind of awkwardly hovers over Burn before settling on his back. Mm-hmm.
It is not shrugged off.
I don't disagree that that was exciting. Or intense.
Exciting, yeah, in a very technical fashion.
What all did you see, Apatia?
Oh, most of what happened in the intersection. I never didn't leave the intersection until I saw, well, the two of you gesturing at Cal and Ing hurrying off, and I just followed. I suppose I thought you knew where I was. She sort of cocks her head, golden retriever style.
I ask for your discretion on what you saw. It's very important that it doesn't get traced back to us.
Oh, well, of course. She nods fairly enthusiastically, and then she pauses and gets a sly look, and she says, I mean, I didn't see anything. What are you even talking about? And then looks sort of up at the ceiling and attempts to whistle, but it is thwarted by her chrome incisors.
That's so damn cute. I'm sorry.
Direct hit.
Yep.
Are you okay, Ing?
Yeah, you've been very quiet. You all right?
I'm ashamed.
Apatia interrupts you very obliviously. She goes, what? No, you, like, saved a bunch of people in that intersection. What are you ashamed about?
Did I kill anyone in the process?
Apatia looks at Cal and then at Kato.
No one.
No, not a one. Even Kumiko, took a licking, but still presumably taken.
Thank God for small miracles. There'll be time to unpack all this later, I'm sure. But in the meantime, what's our next move? We on the run?
Apatia ignores your question, and withdrawing her arms from the broader hug, puts a hand on either side of Ing's face and gets real close and sort of looks directly into your eyes. and says very seriously, "You not hurting anyone is not a miracle. It's normal. You were a badass, and you saved a bunch of people in that square." She maintains sort of uncomfortable eye contact.
Point up as if this were a chat. And then, like, realizing it's not, like, just point, you know, alter the trajectory of wrist to point at a patient.
I mimic the gesture as best I can because I'm picking up what Burn's putting down and don't want them to feel alone on this.
I utter or repeat, "You saved people, kid."
That's good. Still a lot to unpack there. I knew that my body was capable of considerable violence. I didn't know that my mind still was. It's scary.
In everybody's body is capable of considerable violence.
Only at this point does Apatia remove her hands from either side of your face, putting them instead on her hips and smiling so that you can see her canines and her incisors.
It's just a matter of how it's applied and whether it is to the good. You, from what I understand, since there were no fucking cameras, did what you needed to save a bunch of people. And you did not actually hurt any people in the process. And that is a level of precision that violence rarely achieves, but which should be the goal. And so you should perhaps recognize that you are good, full stop, and that you are good at applying violence appropriately.
A patient nods vigorously and she says, "Even when you smoked some pork, you didn't actually hurt them."
I stare at a patient.
I grin.
Apatia looks confused. "The tear gas, I thought it was clever." And then looks at the floor.
"No, it was definitely clever." "And look, to get to a tank, honestly, it would have been understandable if you'd done more, but you didn't. I don't know what your experience of that was. To be honest, you didn't seem like yourself for a moment. And to be incoherently honest, it scared the hell out of me, and I might have slipped on crime names for a moment as a result. No cameras," I look at Burn. "But even in
well, at
state,
least there's that.
You looked like you could have cracked skulls, and no skulls were cracked. That's not a miracle. I'm just echoing what everyone else is saying. That's you. Okay?"
Apatia speaks up and says, "Right, you're the miracle."
"Yeah. Yeah, that.
The only one here that seems to be the least bit afraid of me is Kato, and I feel grateful for that because that makes me feel seen. I'm scared of me. Glad that this worked out. Worked out the best that it could, but I don't remember anything of what happened. So I'm not sure whether to hope that that was me or if it wasn't. I don't know. I'm glad, so glad to have, folks like you, around in a moment like this. And I'm very glad not to have killed anyone, or even anything in the process. Time will tell what happens next.
Look, I see you fully. I am not scared of you now, but I was terrified of you then. Both are true. So yeah. You're back. There's that.
Yeah. If you see me slip away again, keep yourself safe. Please.
I could never be afraid of you, kid.
Ing's face, body language, perhaps, not in a reassured posture by that.
I'll be.
We'll figure out exactly where the line is, and we'll be there to help you walk it.
I'll be there to bring you back.
There's
yeah, we'll do this time.
We'll do what we need to, and we'll do what you need us to.
At the height of me not being sure who was driving, Cal was there, and you seemed to come right back. So, know that.
Alright. How about the rest of you? How did you fare in the final moments of this whole boondoggle?
Apatia responds immediately, and she goes, I was thinking I was going to get shot by a riot suppression tank when suddenly a dashing android dismantled it efficiently. I don't want to minimize anything that you might be feeling right now, but like, you know, to the degree that it was scary, it was the hot kind of scary.
Cal is jealous and they don't know why.
She gives like a helpless shrug and she goes, I know that's probably not like particularly helpful or what you want to hear, but I mean, you did arguably save me from getting shot and you were super cool while doing it. So I, just being honest. And she sort of gives like her best approximation of an in-person anime girl shrugging pose.
Oh my gosh.
I have taken one step back and am nodding wingmanishly. Pasha keeps on praise.
I mutter something awkwardly about reconning the area and walk away to ensure that we weren't followed.
At first, you think you were, and then you realize that a couple of Ing's drones are actually starting to sort of come back into the area. There are a couple still above looking around.
I do mention that the chuckle fuck you were chasing, who I think is also the fucker who took my eyes out, did come down into the basements. Which I suspect means that at some point there will be a porcine presence.
Noted. Have any idea who that was?
Nope. K&B apparently sold the tech that took out the cameras.
Interesting.
But doesn't know to whom because, well, that's not part of that business, let's be real.
Yeah, not knowing is very much part of the business.
Hey, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Can you refresh my memory on who Lou mentioned his suspicions were of this individual's origin?
He didn't have a specific theory about this individual, but the mentions that he made in reference to the whole situation were Law Zero and IMX.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. It only lead is Law Zero and or IMX. Seems like a cartel hit.
That's not the best news if we're on their radar, but better to know than not know.
I don't know that we're specifically on the radar, but like we're probably not on the radar given that Lou was being blackmailed by IMX, likely in relation to finding the baby. And the frontispiece had been marked as a place of extreme interest because, well, we turned them the fuck away.
Yeah, they don't like that.
seems like maybe the question now is whether the audio that was played during the riot makes Lou more or less dangerous. Now, yeah, he's out from under this thumb. Is he going to act more radically?
I finally hear something very interesting a ways down an alleyway in the basement and quietly walk away from the group.
That reminds me, Cal, how'd it go at... Oh.
I will just make a gesture of carry on a moment and follow down that same branch toward or after Cal.
Mm-hmm.
When I catch up, which I will unless you break into a run.
No, but I'd love
this is a funny thought.
Cal running.
Burn running, let's be real.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sprinting away from
burn. Oh, yeah.
Specifically. Yakety Sax plays in the background, yes.
Mm-hmm. Both run like poor actors that should not be cast in an action movie.
Correct. Was it what you needed it to be?
I stop and, without really looking directly at Burn, respond. What do you think?
My understanding, never quite having executed some manner of grand revenge, is that of course fucking not. But it's what needed to happen regardless. Is that something approaching reality there?
Hit the nail on the head. I'm...
Okay.
Forgot you were on the phone. I should have shut it off.
No, because then you wouldn't have had anyone to talk about it with.
And you don't... You thought it
don't
was
what?
Necessary?
He was going to die one way or the other. Like, this was likely a cartel hit.
Yeah.
So, if not then sometime shortly thereafter. You know, can't get good medical help these days or something. So, my hope is you got at least some closure or whatever the fuck. And, you know, that way his death can be useful even at the same time as it probably allows IMX to step up, step in, take over, whatever. And adds more pressure to our problem of figuring out a way to deal with these chuckle fucks on a grander scale than we have been. Which I think means we may need to shift gears.
Lou at least was incompetent.
He was a useful idiot, I suspect.
Yes. A shift in gears will definitely be necessary.
Like, this is going to have to get political in order to deal with cartel bullshit.
Cartel bullshit was already at play.
Yes, but now it is what we're actually trying to deal with, rather than where'd the baby come from, or who wants the baby, or, you know, let's fuck over Lou Tupper. Everything just got bigger.
It did. And you keep saying we.
Yeah. I give you my best teenage, are you fucking dumb look.
I snort. I was too busy up there with Lou, that Ing almost outed himself.
I don't think you had anything to do with that decision on Ing's part.
I should have been there.
I'm going to say something impolitic to the point of being mean.
It hasn't stopped.
You're not everybody's parent. You're not everybody's parent. You're in fact not anybody's parent. It's good that you care. And like, God knows I recognize that I could probably use some parenting, but I'm not volunteering. But you are not responsible for other people. You can take care of and do your best to protect other people, but we've all got fucking autonomy.
Yeah, that was pretty mean.
I don't mean it to hurt you. I mean it to shift your perspective.
To answer your earlier question, closure and satisfaction, I found, are mutually exclusive. I have one, but not the other. No matter what I do, nothing gives me the other. I cannot.
Yeah.
Lose.
Can't get your kid back.
I lost him well before that happened. I have no delusions on getting him back. I can't lose. I can't lose anyone else.
I'll keep that in mind. But I don't really plan on losing myself regardless, assuming I count among the anyone else.
I thought it was
pretty sure that Kato and the Ding also don't really plan on losing themselves. So again, we're in this together.
He wasn't planning on losing himself either. No one plans on that.
It's occasionally a very deliberate choice, but again, not to be encouraged.
What do you want from this
After
anyway?
After all, as we...
What do you want from this anyway? Why did you follow me?
To check up on you. Figured that was clear from the first question. Did you get what you needed? Follow-up question. If not, what do you need?
What I need? I want revenge. You want to know what I need? Here's who you've chosen to care for. The plan was to start from the bottom, work my way all the way up to the top, to every system that allowed Lou to step back into a position of power until either all of them were gone and I stopped them, or I just stopped. What I need is to be able to focus on my mission. What I don't need is any of this.
Qualify what you mean by any of this. Like, me interrupting things, or asking how you're doing, or, like, being a shitty teenager generally in your vicinity, or, like, support on your mission to the degree that I've assisted with that lately. Like, what is the this here?
Complications.
Can't really prevent life happening.
Are you getting some satisfaction out of this?
What kind of satisfaction do you think I would be getting out of this?
Twisting the knife.
That really is not where I'm coming from, Cal.
Then where are you coming from?
I am asking what you needed, because if it was within my power, I would be trying to help with that.
And does it sound like something within your power, kid?
Given that IMX is probably on the next set of targets for both your stated mission and what we need to do to, like, keep the station as minimally fascist as we can, Yeah?
I'm not here for a bigger cause.
Okay. We can make sure that your targets line up with our through line.
Why?
Where do you think I'm coming from here?
I don't fucking know.
If it had been Cato asking how you were doing, never mind how he'd be a good deal more circumspect and better mannered, where would you think he was coming from in an identical circumstance?
Naive optimism. Plus.
And if it were Ing?
Ing has too good a heart.
So what I'm hearing is that you don't think anyone can care about you in a non-instrumental fashion.
No. What I think is that you have all the information in front of you, and yet you seem to insist on caring for me despite it.
So you want revenge because they killed your kid, and because the system is fucking appalling, and these two things intersect. I don't see how that makes you bad or impossible to care for or whatever the fuck you think is going on.
When you put it that way, it sounds sensible. But...
Okay. Good. Like, where is the disconnect between the reality of the motives I just described and what you think is going on? Like, we know I'm a bit of an asshole, but I don't like to think that I'm cruel, which seems to be what you seem to think is what's going on here.
It was just easier when you hated me.
I didn't trust you. It's not that I hated you. I didn't trust you. At the start here, I barely fucking trusted Cato. You may have noticed the degree to which I am supremely unparented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine how a thoroughly unparented child reacts to anyone deciding they do or ought to have directorial authority over them. Especially one as skilled and driven toward disappearing whenever necessary.
And?
It probably looks an awful lot like the behavior you interpret as me hating you.
Well, regardless of whatever it was, it was easier then.
Do you want me to pretend I don't care about you?
No.
Then I'm kind of in a catch-22 here.
I just need not to feel like this.
Would a hug help?
It might just as easily rip me open. But I don't have any other solutions at hand.
I will awkwardly open my arms as an invitation toward a hug.
This is going to be the most awkward scene in history. I also open my arms partially, more of a twitch in that direction.
I will step forward and, like, slowly, awkwardly, in the way of someone who does not give or receive very many hugs at all, give you a hug.
The hug is very awkward at first. as though I'm expecting to be met with more rigidity than I am, considering that I have traditionally only hugged an android in recent history. And then all at once, I collapse into it.
Okay.
Is this a moment where there is a lull in the conversation between the two of you?
Yeah, I think so.
So, Ing, Kato, Apatia, as though she has a player sitting here, those two move off.
I immediately bring up metaphysics so that Apatia will remember that Ing is not just hot because scary, but also hot because smart.
Magnificent.
I appreciate that in a way you have given us an out from like conducting a conversation that matches up exactly to the duration of the conversation that we have just borne witness to. But within that, I do demand to know how you bring up metaphysics. I need to know what it is that Kato says in this moment as the other two depart into just what is kind of a portentous silence. What is your method for bringing up metaphysics here in order to wingman Ing, Ingman, if you will?
There's definitely
ooh, spectacular. Ooh,
a term has been coined. There's definitely an awkward moment of silence. Mm-hmm, a hush definitely falls, but then I say, you know, on top of everything else that today makes you think about, it really makes me think about theories of mind, you know? Two consciousnesses in one body, or more than that, two consciousnesses in one consciousness. I mean, it's a lot to chew on. I look to Ing. I do not waggle my eyebrows. Not least because at this point in my life, that might make a
ring. Right, right.
But...
which probably makes the gesture better, actually.
Yeah,
honestly, probably.
You probably have to be pretty even less subtle somehow to hear the servos. But you know, if you're close enough, you could hear them.
I do look to Ing, making it clear that this is an entrance to lighten the mood, if that's desirable.
Oh, sorry, me as a player, I'm gonna need a moment with that.
All good. I was gonna rule that however much of this conversation you want to have is fine with me. But if we want to leave it at that, you know, sort of on ramp and then just sort of dictate how the rest of the conversation goes while we wait for the return of our other two, that is a way to handle that.
Yeah. Very reasonable if everyone who's not Kato is dumbstruck by this retreat to abstraction, at least initially. But I will do everything in my power to steer the conversation into topics with which
really it just seems to be like a borderline psychological discussion of like plurality as it may exist in android systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to rule that probably that comment about sink your teeth into just kind of whiffs past Ing's head. Surprise of surprises amidst the kind of military training was not the sex talk and innuendo. So they're still getting up to speed.
Sure.
On all of that.
So this is invited since we had some amount of like time in between Ing's flight from their military role and the commencement of this campaign, how many times Ing has been unaware of someone else's like interests. is a fun thing to try to tally up.
That's a fun hand cannon.
Yeah. Leave it as an exercise for the listener. In any case,
that's a prompt for fan fiction.
Thirstbunks.com. So
have we bought that yet?
Oh yeah, we've had it. We've had it for a long time, actually.
AO3. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. It bodes to go back on air again because it has not come up in a few episodes. So.
It's true.
Yeah.
So presumably there is kind of a pregnant pause, and then Apatia begins to sort of haltingly at first, and then with increasing gusto, hold forth on her thoughts and theories about mentality in organic versus artificial mental systems, and will kind of increasingly take on the character of babbling until somebody stops her, or until Burn and Cal return from their sojourn down the tunnel.
You can lead an Ing to a Apatia, but you can't make them flirt.
Look, to be clear to out of character players and to listeners, this is a Apatia flirting. She's just terrible at it.
That's fair.
So fucking adorable.
I probably gradually realized that I'm dealing with two people who are impossibly bad at flirting, and that this is actually about the best outcome for the situation. Yeah. So I take a step back and congratulate myself on a job well done today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are we back to the awkward hug?
I think we are.
Okay. I didn't want to presume. So I abruptly end it by stepping back and suddenly acting like I'm pulling something out of my eye and sniff. You know, there is something that scares me almost just as much as losing anyone again.
Yeah.
And that's not. There was no after for all of this. There was just the next step, the next cog, the next target. And now
the future is a yawning chasm.
I think that's an awfully flowery way to put it, but sure.
It's how it was put to me.
By whom?
No one you know.
If I may break in with an entirely out of character aside, there is a slight pie lyric that uses those exact words, though that is almost certainly not where Burn got it from.
Thank you for that.
Nice bit of symmetry for sure.
What if I don't know how to step away from any of it? And I know I can't take down the cartel. I just don't know how to fix myself enough that I can think about an after.
I mean, part of that is figuring out what you want. Broadly speaking, it may take you a moment to be able to approach it anything other than sidelong, but you hit a point where it doesn't seem like the world's ended any longer.
You've been there before, then?
We talked at least briefly about how thoroughly I've destroyed my first name.
I see. For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
It's well in the past, if you can believe it, given my age.
Maybe. But those sort of things tend to have aftershocks.
Yeah.
I guess I should be asking you if you're okay, because currently having a heart-to-heart with fucking cop in the basement, it's got to be a new kind of low.
You're not exactly a run-of-the-mill cop, either generally or in particularly to me. But the basements are sort of a suspension of reality. Anyone who's down here is down here for a reason. I've spent my share of time down here.
Sorry for that, too.
One does as one must, I suppose.
No. Ing, if you decide to pay attention to it, you'll be aware of this, but acting under its own recognizance, Banjo has actually set off down the tunnel where Cal and Burn are. And at about this point in the conversation, the little quiet clinks of Banjo, which for our listeners is in a Scorpia form, has sort of approached the spot where Cal is standing and has used its stingerless little scorpion tail to sort of like tap on Cal's ankle, posed as though it wishes to climb.
Uppies! Without thinking about it, kind of bend down and then scoop Banjo up. As with the familiarity of an owner picking up a house cat and awkwardly pet the turtle without really realizing or seeming to realize that's what I'm doing. Well, on some level, I'm glad you followed me down here. I know I'm something of an asshole too.
We all are in different ways. Well, Ing might not be.
No.
Doesn't have the life experience yet, perhaps. But in our company, I'm sure we'll soon corrupt them.
By this point in the conversation, Apatia has gotten animated enough that you can hear her relatively clearly from down the way saying something to the effect of, when you come down to it, I mean, what's really the difference between a disc partition and a dissociative identity? I mean, that's not the end of the statement. She keeps going, but...
Yeah. Sure. Ing is always saying that.
Despite themselves, Ing is drawn into this conversation and starts to engage because... philosophy.
Should we go back, or do you need a moment? And do you need a and if you need a moment, do you need it without me?
No, I don't need it without you. I need to scrub some evidence off of me before we go back, but I think we should.
Okay. When you're ready.
Not sure that I'll be ready, but
for a loose definition of ready.
Kind of pretending. I open up the first aid kit and start to rinse off the scalpel and from it. And I imagine I wrapped it in something so it would not contaminate the rest of it. But I do my best to get rid of any evidence and then any DNA with shaking hands.
Well, it's a very intriguing metaphysical argument, but I can't help but notice that I feel like we're just stolen here. I feel safer down here than I do up there, but the path forward lies in discovering who this supposed bomber is of the station. Figure out, I don't know, and our next steps.
A patient nods enthusiastically. She goes, right, right. No, I mean, I can get so easily sidetracked by metaphysical conversations, but yeah, no, the immediate thing, of course. Yeah, no, we should, yeah.
No, me too. And Apatia, I could talk philosophy all night long. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's, you know, practicalities too. You know, there's plenty here in the flesh and blood and steel world to take care of.
A small blue spark.
Flesh, blood, steel, yeah.
A small blue spark flies out from the chrome on the back of her head where all her augments are. And Apatia goes, right, yeah. Well, we should. Do you think they're done?
I imagine that we come.
Yeah.
Walking back at this point. I try not to look between Apatia and Ying repeatedly, but almost do just that and trying to avoid it.
So does Banjo. Apatia has looked over her shoulder during this little floundering moment just in time to see you approaching, and says a little too loudly, welcome back. We've been talking to what's next? What's the plan?
I probably should report back in. It'll be suspicious if I am on duty and don't return, given everything that's happened.
The patient nods vigorously as though she knows.
You can at least say that you were pursuing the suspect.
That's my exact plan for an alibi. There's no camera footage, I understand. So as far as anyone's concerned, I was never in that building, just chasing him or them.
Right. There is, however, camera footage of him coming into the basement. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. I would like to retcon, since it wasn't specified, that I directed Cal to that entrance.
Sure, yeah.
In the course of getting us here.
It wasn't specified, so it can be any particular.
That'd be Cal and Ing, I believe, like, and Kato, too. I think we all use the same entrance.
Kato
used the same one.
Oh, Kato, yeah. Okay. So it'd just be Cal and Ing, so we'll have to scrub that footage. I guess.
But the record show does has made a this is trivial hacking gesture.
Yeah, that. Adam is also now in possession of my up-to-date character sheet, so.
Much obliged.
I mean, you were only operating like 3 levels out of date, so.
Indeed.
I need to eventually update my GM-only one, even though there's not a whole lot on it that's not in session anymore.
Yeah, fewer secrets than there were.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, should we head back to the frontispiece then? And I don't know whether maybe I should lie low for a little bit longer than that.
Yes, you should. They're going to be looking for 2 suspects, whoever took out the tank and whoever took out Tupper.
Yeah. I can send my drones out as proxies, and maybe just stay down here. See if I can get lost in this system.
I think my apartment's still secure, assuming. Well, I didn't leave anything behind.
Burn, could you see, do we have eyes on the frontispiece, maybe the front thereof? Do we know if we're already getting swarmed? Also, I'm sorry, did you say took out Tupper?
Yes. Tupper's gone.
Apatia claps.
Oh, shit.
feel free, either of the other two players, to notice my complete lack of shock here.
I definitely note it. I mean, couldn't happen to a nicer guy, but holy shit.
Adam, I would think that I would have just maintained a general security awareness of the frontispiece throughout the entirety of this thing. Feel free to tell me if that is not a possibility.
I mean, you wouldn't have been focused on feeds around the frontispiece, but you would have gotten notifications if anybody had been messing with it.
And yeah.
So you haven't gotten any such. So if you do flip over to sort of check in, it's outside of the radius of dead cameras.
Right.
And everything seems pretty chill throughout Selden District. There are fewer people around than there normally would be on account of, you know, all that.
Yeah, all of the things. I run through the footage at like 4x speed just to check and see if anything is amiss.
You do get some like evidence of various types of pedestrians and even one or two of the IMX drones that would eventually be present in the intersection where the cameras are out passing by, but nobody pays particular attention to the frontispiece.
Good.
Apeisha voices her worry that if Ing doesn't go back to Cal's apartment, that hand won't get taken care of.
Well, there is coincidentally something that I was planning on doing, even before all this went down. I wonder. Adam, am I misremembering that Gorister does body modifications and so could potentially follow through with reuniting me with Hand or uniting me with Hand?
For sure. I mean, he usually goes the other way where he's affixing artificial parts onto an organic body, but absolutely the reverse would be possible here.
I mean, just think of it as a very large mechanical part to an organic body.
We are dancing on the cliff's edge of plagiarizing Welcome to Night Vale here.
I don't actually recall that bit.
Megan, the adult man severed
hand. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Wow. How did I forget about that?
Huh. It's neither the first time nor the last, I assume, that we'll be on that knife's edge. It's okay.
It's all right. It's one we like to flirt with because we're really like indeed. That.
Yeah, not wrong.
But yes, Gorister doesn't know it yet, but he is absolutely capable of doing this.
All right. Well, speaking of that, I was thinking of having my left hand replaced with hand. So maybe this is the time.
Okay. Very quickly, I need one phrase reactions from each of our player characters to this announcement. We'll go in intro order, so starting with Kano.
Tell me more.
That's not what I meant when I said I could use a hand around the apartment.
Is there a purpose served here? Or is this just, like, an identity thing?
Meanwhile, Apeisha has made the expression that a cartoon cat makes when it sees a cartoon canary with the door to its cage open.
In the moment where Apeisha makes this face, my work sweet arm rotates.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a point. We can go into it later, but essentially, I've been just really thinking how human beings, most of them, seem like they put flesh and blood over silicon and electricity. This is, I guess, a bit of a provocation to those that think that way. introducing some flesh where it doesn't belong.
I like it.
I love it. I mean, speaking as someone who's a bit of a blend myself, albeit approaching from the opposite direction. Intriguing as hell.
Yeah, that was my thought.
It's immensely satisfying, in my opinion.
Ironically, we'll be reversed at that point. Mm. I wave my not very robotic-looking hand.
I hold up both of my hands and flex the knuckles.
I gesture grandly at myself and actually do a little bit of a fashion turn. I say, there's no real bottom to this rabbit hole.
I slow clap at the fashion turn.
Apatia drags her fingernails over roughly the sort of back of the crown of her head down to the base of her neck with a satisfying light tinkling sound.
Mm. Also, you're the one who gets to determine whether or not something flesh, mechanical, or otherwise belongs.
Yeah, absolutely. Not in the eyes of the people that would be offended, but that's why I'm doing it.
Well, yeah, but fuck
I also thought that, you know, if I... Not that I'm eager to part with any parts of my own body, but if I could sell the hand for any kind of profit, then maybe I could invest in some upgrades for training the crew.
Not to be impolitic, but it's a damn shame we can't sell it as the hand that disabled Kumiko. There'd be a market.
Apatia says, I mean, not to be further impolitic, but why can't we?
Well, I will point at Apatia, and then, Ing, do you happen to know what company it was that you were created by? Because that may, one, be useful information going forward, since we are likely to be dealing with cartel fuckery with Grand Cross sovereignty.
Yes, well, I do know that my parts are mostly Omnidyne.
Hey, we have something in common. I tap the big arm with the small arm. It makes a very heavily armored sound. Omnidyne.
All right. Good to know. I think that some of the parts are prototype, but, you know, Omnidyne is the basic chassis.
Okay.
Are we in this moment?
They're on the station, unfortunately. They mostly make guns now, I think. They got boring.
Didn't know that. Now I've got a new thing to be terrified by.
I should shut my mouth over here.
Apatia waves her hand as though it is no particular consequence. She says, No, if you think about most things too hard, they're scary. After that beat, she goes, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
You're not wrong.
Not a bit.
She nods vigorously and she goes, do you know how geckos work? Terrifying.
Can I fiat that I do in fact know how geckos work?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, well, why? What's terrifying about them? Geckos are fucking cool.
Oh, no doubt, but like whatever they stick to, they sort of interleave themselves into on a quantum level.
Yeah, that's part of what makes them cool.
Oh, I thought you were talking about scary. The tails.
Oh, that too.
Thought you were talking about the fact that they eat bugs.
Well, less I mean, that, I suppose. But
like, consider it this way. It's irrefutable proof that everything exists systemically.
On the one hand, that can be comforting. On the other hand, I am glad that my hands don't work that way.
I'm glad that I don't have any parts that operate that way.
Dude, I would have so much fun with that, though.
I'm gonna assume that this conversation is taking place in the while we are moving in the general direction of the frontispiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think as we're moving, I say, I thought you were gonna make a different point entirely. Don't geckos exist everywhere back on Earth except Antarctica? Can't escape a gecko. Except by going to Antarctica.
Cocks her head and says, I hope that's true because I think they eat mosquitoes.
They didn't go to Antarctica because they weren't needed, I guess.
Pasha giggles and says, right, yeah, no, the gecko signal didn't go up from Antarctica. What noble vigilantes.
I snark. I picture a gecko with a little mask, and I snark.
You know, if we'd had this conversation like 8 years ago, I probably would have a different handle.
Never too many.
Apatia, sort of her it's shoulders true. Slump a little bit, and she goes, I don't know which of us would have been on the station 8 years ago.
After a brief pause about the, 8 years ago, I will sort of sidelong allow, yeah, I wasn't here then, but, and yeah.
Apatia will give kind of a faraway look, but not say anything.
If there's no further sort of conversation to be had, but like, speak up now if there is, I suppose.
With this group? Mm-hmm. Of course not.
Yeah. The most you probably get is a offhanded statement about, I'll make sure that you guys get back safely to the frontispiece and then return, report in.
Yeah. I will direct us to four different exits to the basement. Apatia can have a fifth if she wants, but otherwise can go with whomsoever she fucking pleases.
She would like to go... Actually, she dithers for a moment and then is like, well, I'll just follow Ing.
No one is surprised. I direct everyone to different exits. Ing's and Cal's are closer to where they would be headed anyway. Mm-hmm. Mine and Kato's are like two blocks apart on the surface, as it were.
Okay. So, just to make sure that I am assuming correctly, who is headed to the frontispiece right now?
I assume that Kato and I both are.
And I was intending on seeing everyone to the frontispiece before peeling off.
I think it might be still safest for me to remain in the basement until maybe if somebody were willing to grab hand and bring it to the frontispiece, then I can maybe briefly meet up there for some alterations.
Oh boy, if you bring that up, Pasha will volunteer.
I wordlessly hand her my apartment key. Presumably a spare I keep on my person for...
Yeah. She gives you maybe the worst salute of all time. but...
And then I protest. I don't think you need to stay in the basement.
It would be pretty sus for you to disappear.
I mean, if they're keeping tabs on you. Got a description of me, I'm... just going to bring trouble down on Cal.
No, it's
not. Apatia cocks her head and says, well, do you know how many of you were made?
No guarantees. I was under the impression that I was one of a kind.
Do you know how many people would be able to accurately describe you as other than a badass android?
Well, as I know.
The suspect was also an android with a combat chassis, so all we need to do is plant somewhere out there that both were operating under Law Zero and both had a similar appearance. And that's it.
As a bonus, nobody's going to be looking for an android with a flesh hand.
All right. All right.
I can definitely plant that similar appearance rumor.
I'll take it. Let's just keep an eye on the situation, right? Got a backup plan. Have a backup plan in case things close in. Thank you. So yeah, to Cal's apartment for Ing, and then back to Frontispiece.
All right.
And Apatia, you're certainly welcome to tag along if you'd like.
I do still somewhat strongly, given basement security and OPSEC considerations, suggest that we pop out of separate entrances rather than all do so from one place.
Yeah, I was assuming that was still going to be the case.
Well, that was more directed at Cal.
Fair enough.
The, you know, see us safely to the frontispiece.
The safest thing is to pop up in a stack like the little rascals out of a single manhole.
A single trench coat. One trench coat.
We already did that one shot, although I don't think it's
Oh, yeah, yet. That's right.
So
we didn't get to do that one shot. I haven't listened. I haven't gotten to hear it yet.
We will elide the bits, I suppose, where hand is retrieved and everybody eventually filters back to the frontispiece. It is still evidently not under any sort of scrutiny. Gorister is still there. He wasn't there when Kato and Ing left, but evidently filtered back in that direction, both because of work scheduling and also because, well, there was a protest going on, and that's a lot of extra work that Gorister is not interested in. So Gorister is in the back room watching something on a tablet when, I guess probably Kato is the first one back, shortly followed by Burn.
Yeah, I would have arranged the distances that way.
And so he sort of looks up when Kato comes in and is probably partway through the ensuing conversation when Burn comes in. But his remarks are something to the effect of, good to see you're alive.
Yeah. All of us, if you can believe it.
That is actually kind of surprising, but like, cool, good. I mean, best of all possible worlds, I guess.
Absolutely. Seems like things are...
Yeah, just to say, he puts his tablet down and stands up and starts pretending to work.
Best of all possible worlds around here as well.
It'd be about that time that Burn would arrive, Gorister is in the process of asking, so are any particular jobs lined up, or am I just kind of holding down the fort?
Things are likely to get a little interesting, actually.
Gorister glares at you. What the fuck does that mean?
New, interesting, experimental.
Yeah, thanks, Noah Webster.
Happy to help.
That's out of character for you.
I bring Gorister a little bit up to speed, keeping in mind our general policy that hopefully it doesn't happen, but inherently somewhat funny event of Gorister being interrogated. He doesn't actually know that much. Really. Yeah. Not that he'd be helpful if he did, but yeah, let him know that we're going to have to lay low. Actually, I shouldn't assume because it's Gorister, but I let him know about Kumiko. I don't let him know that we were involved.
He goes, oh, yeah, no. I saw a stream from like a high altitude quadcopter of like this tank getting taken to pieces, like, you know, in like little snippets through a cloud of tear gas. It was metal as hell.
The times, they are a metal.
He nods. He goes,
could you send me a link to that video?
Yeah, sure. And in a couple of moments, he does. It doesn't seem like this is the only stream, but it is low on detail. But
cool.
The directional sound recording captures the squealing of tearing metal very well.
I systematically check through as many of the streams or feeds or what have you as A, I can, or B, I exist, whichever is the limiting factor there.
Sure. I'm going to make a roll real quick for, of all the things, the streamers.
Sure.
Good old influencer roll.
Please, please. The word is shill.
Or charlatan.
Or huckster, I suppose.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Huckster is a good one.
So it is genuinely kind of stressful and frustrating to look through these streams because these, if they knew what they were looking at, these commentators would actually have more information than you want them to. Mm-hmm. But the actual visual and audio information is not at all conclusive. And their general vibe is, of course, of sensationalizing. And so they're talking about like this settings version of like Antifa super soldiers, essentially. You know, that like,
what is the more information that they'd have if they knew what they were talking about?
Well, they would be able to fill in some of the gaps in the information that they are actually like seeing and hearing, with like being able to resolve these four pixels, you know, into an understanding of the altercation between Ing, the dozen PSS officers, and Kumiko. As okay. It is, they're looking at blurry motion and hypothesizing about what it would take to disable a Kumiko model tank.
Okay. To what degree is like identifiable bits of Ing on display in these?
The clearest one shows his color pretty well, though the scale is still indeterminate.
Okay.
And I should make another quick roll real quick.
Yep.
There is one stream that got like 24 views that...
Please tell me the views are what you were rolling for there.
More or less.
That's funny as hell.
This small stream actually got a relatively clear snippet of Kato yelling Ing's name.
Fuck.
Now, this hasn't been seen that much as yet.
I would like to, like, try to corrupt this one to the degree possible remotely.
Okay. Let's get first a hacking roll from you.
Yep.
Which is...
Fortunately, my hacking and ghosting are now equal again.
Mm-hmm. Looks like hacking is 2d6 plus 7.
Yep. So that is a 17.
Okay. So the service, the streaming service that this particular streamer used is fairly well secured, but also not very actively monitored. So you can be a little blunt and still get away clean, as long as you don't like send up any alerts. And so you are, you know, roll well enough to be successful in, you know, getting the job done. Let's get a ghosting roll to see about the sending up any alerts.
Yep.
Which will be also 2d6 plus 7.
Same roll, but double fives instead of 6-4. Okay. So
yeah.
If that's a success, then it's a critical. If it's not a success, then it's not.
Yeah. Fortunately for you, the in-universe version of Twitch does not have like Department of Defense level security.
God, I would be worried if they did.
Yeah, for real. So, yeah, you are able to, get in, do what you want, and leave not only without any trace of your interference, but without any trace that this particular VOD ever existed. So the information will be extant only in the memories of those who streamed it and watched it. Which,
cool,
admittedly, is not nothing, but is about the best you can do with your particular set of skills.
Honestly, I would be worried if I were able to do more.
Fair enough. In due time,
I guess there's a world where we could have tried to find out which 24 use and find them in real life.
Hear me out. Instead of bloodbending, brain hacking.
I mean, you know, then we get to Night Vale re-education, and like that's its own level of hell.
And I was going to say, we'll dabble in Cyberpunk 2077 some other time. But this is a different game. So while Burn is doing that, Cal and Ing and Apatia will make their way to the frontispiece as well with, I guess, Cato. In the meantime, what do you tell Gorister about what to expect here?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect some assholes to show up, and the precise nature of those assholes will alert you to as best we can. Look, you're really good at what you do.
I know.
Keep doing it.
Was planning to.
Not too much more than that, really. I mean, as far as we know, we got away pretty clean.
I think
you did say, though, that things were about to get kind of
weird. Asking more about the...
What do you mean by that?
Sure, yeah.
Very
the,
worried.
The particular job at hand.
God damn. Yeah, okay. It's it's not so much about it's not so much about what happened. It's what's going to happen. I guess we found out that our problems go higher than we thought. It doesn't end with Tupper, basically.
Yeah, okay.
No one really should be particularly shocked.
What does that have to do with me exactly? I just do, like...
I think what Cato is missing is that you're going to have a client that you know soon.
I was getting to that. So Ing has an idea. This is the part that's going to be interesting directly in your job.
Oh boy, I hate that. It is at this exact moment
that, is,
that Ing and
Apatia show
up.
That is an in-character, like, laugh, giggle, whatever the fuck you want to describe that as.
Sure.
Look, I was trying to reassure you about the general vibe around here, which isn't going to change that much, but do you remember that time we technically got you enrolled in medical school?
Gorister goes, fuck no, but he's not looking at you. He's looking at a Apatia carrying hand into the shop.
No, it was, I mean, you technically, or you could practice medicine if not credentialed. And then I realize what he's saying.
Yeah, he goes, with all due respect, Cato, shut the fuck up.
You did say with all due respect.
Which is different from saying only due respect.
Look, the respect you're due is not that much, especially when you bring this shit to me. What are you doing with that thing? And he points at hand.
Oh, this is the interesting part. I thought you liked a challenge.
He sits down and puts his head in his hands and he goes, tell me I'm not supposed to attach that to anybody.
I make a policy of not lying to you.
A patient. You're not supposed to attach that to anybody. There.
He doesn't have that policy yet.
A patient looks down at hand over to hanging over to Gorister and goes, I don't think I see what the problem is.
Ing waves hello with his left hand.
Is that the soon-to-be ex-hand?
Yes.
Gorister sighs.
I have a very fine part on hand, too.
Gorister makes this sound. Okay, I'm charging double for this. And then he stands up and sort of like stretches his arms and goes,
hey, Cato, what's twice nothing?
I wasn't a math major.
Gorister looks at Burn and goes, okay, kid, look, I try to be nice, but seriously, fuck you. And then takes a deep breath and looks at Aang and goes, all right.
You're so not my type.
Ignoring that. So, who are we attaching this thing to? Please say you, please say you, please say you.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. I will just take a pointed look at my own Luke Skywalker hand.
And Gorister ignores you equally pointedly, gesturing Ing over to the work table and starting to discuss the upcoming procedure in a monotone.
By the time he is starting to do that, his device has pinged, and the one cash I had on hand does make its way to him.
Very well. In the meantime, Apatia has sort of like moved away from this conversation, having not a whole lot to contribute. And Cal, you can have arrived kind of whenever you wish to have arrived in the process of all of this. Mm-hmm. But I guess, other than Ing, who is busy, who out of the three of our player characters in Apatia is most likely to be checking in on station news? All right, I see Burns.
I'm probably getting it secondhand because I'm probably checking in with the Fixer Network, mm-hmm. who themselves have probably been checking in with station news.
All right. So, between
the... Yeah, I'm basically in post-op fallout monitoring.
Sure. Between the sort of informal on-site streamers and the more credible, in giant quotation marks, sort of news networks on station, coverage is starting to sort of be wall-to-wall. It's easy to forget, but between Cal getting called in by PSS to man this protest, and the current moment is like between 2 and 3 hours. The last few sessions have really not taken all that much time. And so the sort of broader coverage is just sort of now starting to filter out. And the sort of up to the moment streamer takes are varied depending on what kind of audience they've cultivated and what their particular both literal viewpoint and ideological viewpoint are. The emerging narrative from the mainstream, however, is that the members of Slagpi who were detained have essentially been proven guilty by their jailbreak, but that PSS and Lou Tupper, whose death is not widely reported just yet, have mishandled this to a degree that has resulted in numbers vary between 5 and 25 deaths. What the real number is, none of you really have good information on, though those of you who are in the intersection with Kumiko are very skeptical of the 25 number. That seems quite high. Regardless, the process immediately takes shape of manufacturing consent for IMX to take over from PSS, surprising no one here. And the line seems to be that the sort of personal and to some degree emotional decision-making of Lou Tupper can be avoided with an algorithm-driven drone primary law enforcement contingent. The spin is that This will actually be a pilot program for law enforcement throughout the station and maybe even back on Earth one day. While IMX did not have any particular role in the events of the day, nevertheless, they're being given a lot of credit, just kind of nebulously, by some of the more major outlets. The coverage no longer features sort of sitting politicians on the station. It's all just talking heads. But they do seem to be teeing up policies, you know, as foregone conclusions. One of the interesting things to come of all this is a couple of different programs at different times have very brief but very similar interviews with the apparently newly appointed director of security on behalf of IMX in Selden District, NGPOL's campus jurisdiction specifically, a very punchable looking man with a faux military bearing and haircut named Sean Howard. He is apparently going to be the face of security in Selden District going forward, and he boasts repeatedly about how he is one of only three human employees that IMX is stationing in Selden District, and that the rest of law enforcement will be handled algorithmically, programmatically, and through their drones. A number of graphics of which also come up during these programs. Des?
A number of potential conclusions here. Step one, sure would be cool to have a whole bunch of schematics of a whole bunch of IMX drones and drone models, that is, with an eye toward. And here's how you easily fuck them up. Two, it, like, a potential mission directive, whatever the fuck we might want to see about here, might be trying to prevent this policy. Three, finding out and exposing any role in any of the various flavors of malfeasance that we've been sort of tied up in that IMX may have. Seems like a whole higher priority now. These are in-character thoughts expressed out of characterly.
Sure thing. In the meantime, Ing Gorister has been working toward your procedure, and Apatia has been alternately explaining to Gorister why this is both a good idea and a necessary step, and sort of seemingly making attempts to be comforting towards you, Ing, without really knowing how to do that. And around about the time that the procedure is ready to get started going, just a couple minutes before Gorister has finished doing all of his prep, there is a knock on the sort of back entrance to the frontispiece, which cameras will reveal to be Bronwy, whose face shows some of the telltale signs of having experienced tear gas, and who has a bloody bandage around her bicep.
The door...
Go ahead.
The door unlocks upon identification and confirmation that there aren't, say, cops behind her.
Such confirmation received, the door opens. Bronwy walks in and the door closes behind her. She leans on it, looks around the room briefly, and goes, "Well, that was a day." And for reasons of time, that's where we're going to end our session. Though I will note for our players and listeners alike that we'll probably begin next time by handling what Cal's schedule during all of this has looked like, reporting back in and such. So that'll conclude this session of Dice Punks. Thank you for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you'll all join us again next time. If you're hearing us now, you probably know where to listen to this, but we can be found almost any place one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com and on Tumblr and Blue Sky as at dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks back on Earth, players.
Thanks for listening. Did you know that the largest known species of gecko has one specimen on display at the Natural History Museum in Marseille, France?
Why I did not. France?
Why not France?
Also, we should all just have Gecko Facts be our sign-off this time.
I forgot that to like a tall.
Hold on. Hold on. Marker here. Thanks for listening, everyone. Did you know that geckos can stick to everything except for non-stick surfaces like Teflon?
Thanks for listening, folks. And did you know that geckos can bark?
Well, thanks for listening, folks. Don't forget to check out your gecko, I suppose.
You all are dangerous.
It's the step part of the campaign where we've all lost our minds.
Me included. Case in point, as the poet once said, "For your information, we got what you need. It's called a love droid, and it's programmed to please." Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around through the admin stuff for a Cato log. The music in this episode, Augment or Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their other work at the link in the show notes. Editing and our rad new cover art was done by Joanne, who's appeared on the podcast now and again. Check out her work around the internet, where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics for DicePunks.com are by the one and only Officer Armitage, Robin. Hardwired Island is by Paul Machevic, Freya Erlingsdaughter, and Minerva McJonda. You can find Hardwired Island at etten.itch.io/hardwiredisland. Links to the system and authors can be found in the Punk Grimoire section of our website, DicePunks.com. Thanks so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who you think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available to backers, including a patron-only Discord and access to the Dice Peaks after show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
Well, here's something else I should definitely delete. This is documentation for installing a heavy armor frame on an overall spacer build. Two versions, actually. The one we archived and that I used on my arm, and the one that we re-uploaded after making some key alterations. I guess having these side by side isn't that incriminating. Anyone who'd been downloading updates around that time would have both. Assuming they'd kept the old one on an air-gapped machine anyway, because we did push the update and override everyone's opt-in settings, and Omnidyne themselves no longer has the pre-sabotaged copy we made. Very sure of that. So, okay, maybe having both of these is a little incriminating. Also incriminating, the amount of Omnidyne stuff that I kept after we compromised the facility in New South Wales. But I can't get rid of that stuff very easily at this point. The arm, the big one, was the first thing I started designing for myself. Idly, I thought at first, but the notion didn't stay idle. I started installing the arm and the armor right after I got top surgery. Room to work. So yeah, the Omnidyne tech isn't going anywhere. I tap my work suite arm against my heavy armor one. Omnidyne. I drum my fingers over my heart on the support piece on my chest. Omnidyne. I get goosebumps and then I calibrate the parts of me that get artificial goosebumps. Not Omnidyne. Not their strong suit. But no way around it. Keeping these files is stupid. Like, Gorister could fix me up if it came down to it, even without this little illicit file. And shit, Omnidyne is HQ'd in Central District these days. Grand Cross isn't that damn big. But on the other hand, Byrna has this place locked down decent, and we have worse on these machines. And also, having this here is very damn funny. And also, I have some nostalgia for this operation. It was effective. Armor malfunctioning for all sorts of cops and corpos, their time wasted, all sorts of military robots that might have been built, not getting built. And it was profitable, too. Weapons and armor and other parts reclaimed after they got thrown away for apparently being defective. Besides which, nobody got blown up that time out. Reflexively, I touch my cheek. Not for the first time today, I feel an artificial goosebump. Nope. Not Omnidyne. Not their strong suit.
Hello.